heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor. Honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
Of a nation.
And now, Malcolm.
So I had to keep reminding myself that it was a State of the Union speech and not a DNC convention or some significant campaign event. Now, I watched it, my wife watched it with me, begrudgingly, mind you, watched it as well and kept asking me, is it time yet? Can we just, you know, she was really having fits there. See, can we get Trump on yet? Oh boy, it was quite the evening. And of course, we all come into this kind of a conversation with our biases. I mean, it's all ideology driven and how we feel, how we sense the world here. But here's the scary thing about a lot of this. Because the expectations are so low, and they are indeed very, very low, my greatest fear is that Biden's policies and his behavior are becoming normal to many of our fellow Americans. They don't see the difference. And people have very short memories, you see, very short memories. Like, just the one point of the pullout and the debacle in Afghanistan would have been enough to derail any administration in America's history. Any administration, that would have been the end of the game, not this one. People don't even talk about that anymore. That's become, whatever, a norm somehow. My fellow Americans, it's the tale of two ideologies. And the question I pose up front, it's a very serious question. I think about it a lot, actually. Can these two parties, these two ideologies, still coexist in the same nation? Welcome into the voice of a nation. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. And it's a question I think about often enough, really. Can they? And the reason is, and I think you might sense what I mean by this, but if you just rewind in your mind the speech, if you sat through the speech, the State of the Union we're speaking about here in 2024, right? And you see the policies that were thrown out there and the conversations that were put out there and the enthusiasm from the left in the hall there. And I ask myself, what percentage of our country really thinks like that? Like, how much danger are we really, really in? Is this the extreme? I mean, have most of the extremes in running the loony farm just gotten into this building and in this group here, this small little group? Or is it a microcosm or a microcosm of our nation? You know, that's what worries me the most. I mean, like, should we pack our bags now and leave? Or does this get better at some point? Because this soap opera has gone really bad, really fast, you see. Now, the Los Angeles Times, they say Biden's big audition at the State of the Union, is he up to the job? What the hell kind of a headline is that? His big audition, a man who's been in office for well over 3 years now, his record is what it is. You can't change any of that. But now what that administration is doing, because they're dealing with such record low numbers and policies that nobody likes, they're now trying to reset everything. You say, well, I think we can do this better. Or, you know, we have some, well, let's try this new immigration thing that the right won't pass. And, you know, they deflect and it's a game to these people. It really is a sick game, you know? Well, the LA Times says State of the Union speeches seldom matter much. This one did. It was Biden's first big opportunity to convince voters that he's still up to the job. You see, and these are media groups who are going to help this president out, very much so. And you see how they word this all. Now, my fellow Americans, if that was a strong constitutionalist up there, do I dare say if that was Donald Trump up there? What do you think that message would be? What do you think those headlines would be? Could you just imagine in your wildest dreams what the headlines would look like all over the country? The Raven Angry Madman at the State of the Union. Who is this man? Could you imagine in your wildest what that would look like? And yet today it is all acceptable behavior, you see? Well, more than 6 in 10 American adults, including about one-third of Democrats, lack confidence that Biden has the mental capacity to serve effectively as president. This is a poll for the Associated Press just this past week. Wow. Well, we're going to jump into it at a roundtable today, my fellow Americans. So let me just tell you who we've got on the broadcast here. It's a pretty stellar group, so it's going to be a great conversation. Daniel Baranowski joins us. He's a retired healthcare management policy instructor at the Harvard University School of Public Health. Daniel is an amazing writer, author, weekly columnist for the platform, and just a great voice. Great to have him here. Dr. Stephanie Coxon is here. And, you know, well, a couple of things about Stephanie. I mean, first of all, she's a mother of five. I think it's good to say that because you get the sense in the real term of who she is. She's a medical freedom activist. Yeah, she manages a holistic medical practice, works with people to create wellness lifestyle, that sort of thing. But she also is the co-host of Two Women Inspiring Real Life, Twirl, on the weekends here. And that plays just before the McCullough Report, by the way, 1 o'clock Saturday, Sunday. She's doing a great job there with Kathy Anderson Martin, as I know. It's the two hosts there. They're doing terrific. And one of my favorite broadcasters in the whole wide world, Booker Scott. Booker Scott is the host of Truth Be Told with Booker Scott at 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. He is best in class. If you're not listening every day at 6 p.m. to the network, then you're missing out a lot because he'll give it all to you, give it to you honestly, straight. He's got it. He's the founder and president of SaveYourRepublic.org as well. And that's a cool site that gets into election integrity. And so check that out as well. He's got a great career in iHeartRadio, Cumulus Media, all kinds of things. Privileged to have Daniel, Stephanie, and Booker here. Now, let's jump into the State of the Union here. The State of the Union. Everybody has their own thought processes or their own ideology of what really is the State of the Union. But the extremity of the conversations at the State of the Union and the applause for the insanity and the biggest thing a lot of his supporters could critique the following day, believe it or not, is that he used the word illegal immigration. And they don't like that word illegal when it was pointed out about Lincoln Riley, not Lincoln, Mr. President, the young lady who was butchered and murdered in Georgia. Wow. Yeah. And, you know, where do you start with this one? I got to tell you here. Going to start with Dr. Stephanie Coxon. All right. You watch that State of the Union speech. I asked the question. It was so extreme, the way it was supported, applauded in the room, celebrated. I really started to ask myself, you know, looking through the looking glass, what hole they dropped through. But can these two ideologies, you know, I don't know, Stephanie. We look at all the years of our nation, and you wonder how they coexisted through some very rough times. Certainly through the Civil War was most volatile in the 1860s. But, you know, we had a lot of tough times. But we're getting to the loony farm. Is it just because we're living in the moment, do you think? Or do you think these two ideologies can coexist, or have we gotten to a point where it's an impasse, I wonder?
Well, let me say this. I've been to the grocery store. I was there earlier today. I know what the State of Union is, and it does not match what he is telling us. So we have a party that is just filling, you know, it's almost like, you know, there's a word called projection in psychology, right? So whatever you're doing, you're just pretending like it's the other person. And I felt like he was standing up there and kind of, you know, just in his own bubble of a world. And I'm thinking, where is he living? Because it's certainly not with the rest of society. It's not with the rest of us who are fighting to be able to afford our food each day. And it really took me back how he just seemed so disconnected. And if that's the policies that they want to put forth, where they are just diminishing the middle class completely, and they're creating that two-tiered system and basically turning us into a third world country, how do you live with that? I don't think it can exist. Not if you want to survive, not if you want to have a good life, not if you want what America was founded on and that opportunity that we can all equally rise together based on our own hard work. Yeah. It can exist.
Steph, let me ask you, when you say the rest of us now, and you say, well, I mean, okay, the extremes, but yet you hear in that room, that half of that room, they loved every bit that was dripping from his mouth as he was hacking all over the mic. I mean, they just loved it.
Wow. Well, were they paid to love it? I don't know.
I don't know. What percentage of our country do you think falls into that camp? Is it 40%? Is it 30%? Is it 20%? Is it 10%? What is it?
I can't imagine. I'm going to say less than 20%. I really cannot imagine that most people are sitting there celebrating like that. And I think that was more designed that way because, look, when he has campaign events, no one is showing up. That's a single opportunity to get in front of people. That's going to be his biggest campaign event there is at this point. So they've got to make it look good. That's the only thing I can figure out, because most of people, I think there was actually a poll put out by Yahoo.com where 72% of people wanted nothing to do with the State of the Union. You don't need to hear what's going on. You can see it in your daily life. You can look at your neighbor.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear it loud and clear. All right. So you're thinking about the coexistive point. Okay. I thank you for that. About 20% or so. It's an interesting place to start. Daniel Baranowski, jump in here. Now, before we deflect from that question, and I know that you will, because you'll want to get to the policies and the insanity of the evening. What percentage, Daniel, do you think of our country? It's a serious question I ask about the coexistence in our nation, because I'm at the point that I'm not sure it works anymore, frankly. And I don't mean, I'm not being smart when I say that. I mean, I think it's gotten off the rails now. Am I overshooting that a bit, or what percentage do you think it is, Daniel?
Well, thank you for having me, Malcolm. It's always it's a pleasure to be with you. Yeah, you know, yesterday was a proof of life, but that's about all it was in terms of what Biden got across. I don't know the percentage of people that buy into this stuff. I think a lot of us don't, unless you follow it, you don't really understand it. And that's why you get this repetition that goes on with the liberal media and the Bidens and the Democrats and the Marxists and everybody else, because they just hope to hammer that home and that you don't ask the follow-up question. But I think we're at that place where someone somewhere along the line said, this nation cannot exist half slave and half free. And this is one of these times that I've never seen such a divisiveness, division between, and you're right, ideologies. These aren't philosophies. These are ideologies that have cropped up. And there's got to be a reckoning somewhere along the line. Sure. And it scares me to death.
That's it right there. That's it right there, bud. That's it, brother. That's it. I mean, there's got to be a reckoning somewhere. That's what I'm asking, really, Daniel. So are we at that moment? Is it? Well, let me say this, not maybe this hour of the day, but between now and November, I got to tell you, if victory goes to the left, to Biden, if they're able to pull this off, the biggest coup in mankind, I got to tell you what, this nation is going to, good part of this nation is going to lose their collective minds. I would say to you, Daniel.
I'll tell you what's going to be even worse.
Please,
Malcolm.
Please.
And that's if Trump and the rest of us win. Because we're not a violent group by nature. These people are. these people will go, take a look at even the campaign that's going on right now with Hamas here in this country and everything. Yeah. These people will get right in your face. And if anything was like what we did with Black Lives Matter and George Floyd not too long ago, compared to the peaceful protests of Israel and other, you know, the March for Life and the other kinds of things we do, we're talking about really quite a clash. And I think there'll be buildings burnt and the sky is going to fall.
I like what you say there, but I'm going to say something else here now. You got me really reeling here on this thing, but, you know, let me preface my words properly so I remain a gentleman when I say this or ask this point, please. But to your point about, well, we're not quite so violent, or, oh, we're sort of this, that, and the other end, but they do this, that, and the other end. Why is the right such a group of pansies? How else do I ask that question? I'm not really sure. The left is brazen and the right is a group of pansies. Why is that, Daniel? Do you know why?
Yeah, because our philosophy is the rule of law. It's how we've been brought up. We've been brought up with respect, without speaking out of turn, without, you know, going about our lives discussing these things and coming to consensus at times or whatever and learning to live with it. But when you get it with some people like this, there is no ground to negotiate. That's why, what a joke about this was a bipartisan border plan that they came up with. Mm-hmm. You know, we're only going to have 5,000 people a day come into the country illegally instead of 10,000. What a massive victory. I mean, that's the kind of perversion you get together when you talk about this was a consensus plan. We all got together and worked on it. It's just plain silly. But we've got so many things going on. And for him to have opened up with the Ukraine situation was also really, really perplexing. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who didn't give these people the weapons they needed when they needed them. And now we're playing catch up. We owe all kinds of money to our own stores and everything else because we've already sent the bullets.
Well, it seems they play both narratives. And let's face it, the left does that. Projectionism is their middle name. And they play both narratives. Their actions are and their words are never the same, Daniel. They're just not.
Right. I mean, and there's something that wasn't in the speech yesterday, Malcolm, that I'd like to bring up. We could be as brief as possible. But there was a point where Biden stopped to talk to Senator Bennett and Blinken. And he says to him, I told Bibi the other day, and don't repeat this, he says, but you and I, meaning Blinken, are going to have we're going to call a BB and we're going to have a coming to Jesus moment. Hmm. Well, first off, that it's a little funny, you know, he's going to talk to a leading Jew in a country about Jesus. But this toughness now he's displaying, and he's going to build a port there, which is not, you're not going over it well at all with Israel, and he's not going to send munitions. Yeah. And these are the kinds of side conversations. It's interesting. These mics had picked up.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, he didn't really even address.
Well, I think one of the catch things on this, Daniel, I'd be happy if they'd all find Jesus, if they find out where he lives. I'd be happy with that point. That would be a success. Yeah. All right. Hold that thought. We'll come back to more.
Okay.
Let me get Booker Scott in here. And all right, Booker. So, I mean, where do you go with this? I mean,
let me dive in.
This coexistence, this ideology thing. Talk to me.
Yeah. Let's start there. And that was your initial question.
Yes, sir.
I would put the percentage at about 33%. And that would be the same 33% that believe Joe Biden and his administration has done a great job on the border. And that's the number I would put it at. Can we coexist? You know, I think back to 1973 and 74. We remember what happened at Kent State. The country was divided at that time over the Vietnam War and other things. And somehow we were able to coexist then. There is a difference. And I believe Daniel just kind of hit on it a little bit there with Joe Biden mentioning Jesus and the Israelites and the Jewish people. Is the ideology that is missing now that was not there that was there in 1974 is we are living in a negative world, meaning most people are not churchgoers. And I came across a graph and a survey that took a look at kids at 18 years old, seniors in high school from 1995 to 2022, and only 22% of those kids during that period were weekly churchgoers. And so when you look at the ideology, I think that's a part of it you also have to look into, because on the left, that 33%, they see their God as government. And so when they see things like that, then they're going to be excited about all of the tyranny that Biden talked about the other night on the State of the Union.
So are you this 33%, and thanks for putting a number on that and what you really think what it is. And you're probably pretty close somewhere. It's somewhere pretty close to that number, I think, here. The coexistent point is here's the crux of it, Booker, is this, is that, all right, they are the, it's always that squeaky wheel gets all the grease there kind of thing. They're the most loud and obnoxious people. Back to Daniel's point a moment about even the reference of violence and how that works on the left so very effectively for them. And of course, the biggest culprits in all of this is our media, the fourth estate in our nation, who just lie, cheat, and steal through all of these narratives and headlines. It's ridiculous. And independent media is, we're struggling to get the truth out there to a wider group of Americans, frankly. But that coexistent, back to that point, Booker, if we are... if that is about there and they're getting all the noise, but you know, the way I see it at this point is this, I look throughout my lifetime and the right continues to acquiesce to the left and they want more and more. When I say the left, we're talking about a communist manifesto here. We're talking about an agenda to really is what we're talking about. And let's be clear what Marxism, what socialism is. And that's really their ultimate goal. And they're well on their way to bringing America to its knees. That's what they're doing. And so with that said, you see, this this coexistent business is a real point of reference, because if we keep, as Daniel points out, being nice, well, we were brought up better than that. Well, you know, we just don't do that sort of thing. I think it may be our undoing, I'm going to tell you. You ever hear the saying, Booker, you have to fight fire with fire, or you have to kick their asses on Main Street? Have you heard any of those?
Sure, but you have to have the right people that bring the fire. And that's part of what is missing in all of this. And Stephanie was talking about going to the grocery store. And, you know, as we live in our communities, we really don't see all of the things that we see on social media and the things that Joe Biden talks about. You know, we see each other as human beings. And what the part that's missing, I think, is the fact that we don't get involved in the apparatus of the Republican Party or the GOP that exists. And, you know, I'll give you an example. There are about 150,000 empty precinct chair seats in the country in the Republican Party. If 150,000 American First people took those seats, which the Republican Party doesn't want you to know about that, they don't want you to know that there are those seats are empty, because it would completely change the Republican Party, because that is where candidates are vetted. That is where things are done in the local community. And we're not there. And if we were, I think we could change the complexion of the Republican Party. And also, to your point, we could bring people that could bring the fire. And now we don't have those people. It's a uniparty.
It is a uniparty. That's exactly right. We also see, to your point there, about remaking the GOP and America First, which could be also Make America Great Again. But let's call it America First for this exercise. You see that Trump has just put in there new leaders in the RNC. I just put, that's a remarkable brand new information here. That's including Laura Trump. And so he's really putting his grasp, if you will, on the party. There's no doubt this has become Trump's party at this point. I mean, and I know they continue to try to deny and deflect that point, but he has taken it over very much here. All right. The other thing beside this here with, the policies itself that came out of the State of the Union are striking. The number one calamity in our nation is the open borders right now, not by my standards, by the standards and demands of millions of Americans. It is the number one issue. that people are, and that's what that is keeping them up at night, even more than the economy, which is striking. That almost never happens, friends. And yet it is. It's so bad that it has now taken over people's thoughts, their lives, of the narrative, which is why the administration needed this gift of this plan that was put forth that was never going to make it anywhere. The little engine that could plan that never went any, wasn't going to go anywhere. But they don't bring up the other plan from last year that the Republicans put forth, naturally. It's all a game. It's all a game. And none of it's really designed to solve the problem. They want the problem there. And, you know, this is how what these people run on is the problem. That seems to be very, very apparent. Now, there was an interesting, I'm sure everybody, or maybe everybody didn't catch, and you probably may or may now know, Senator Katie Britt, the Alabama senator, did the response, the GOP response. And there's some interesting headlines about it. People are laughing about it, making poking fun at it today, pretty much. It was done at a kitchen table and all of that. But we've seen that before. That wasn't really a novelty to me. But the way she presented herself and did, and responded to all the points and delivered it was very, very different. And I wonder what the group thinks about that. And we'll dive into that in a moment. I have my own thoughts, and I'm not going to share them with you because I'll taint the pool here. But that was the GOP response to the State of the Union. And of course, Donald Trump was on Truth Social, and he had his own response and stayed at it that night doing a quick response to all the lies. As I understand it today, his fingers have fallen off from being sore from typing from all of the negativity and the responses. They're pretty outrageous here, friends. Okay, well, listen, this this is a roundtable on the State of the Union speech. This is going to be an incredible race here in 2024. This is one that we've never seen before. What we're going to experience for the entire rest of this year now is going to be the most vitriol, volatile on one end, and on the other end, it's going to probably be scrumptilicious for many others. You know, it's going to be a hell of a fight and a battle here this year. And the stakes are the nation. That's the stakes, friend. So you have to ask yourself, what will the nation look like after November? And as Daniel and Booker was referencing just moments ago here, I mean, will they burn the country down at that point? You know, I mean, what do we look like after the election? Because they never take defeat real well, right? And then when you get into 2025 and the new president takes hold of the office, if that whatever happens, what will we look like there? We're in for some traumatic times here. And I remind you that 2026 is America's semi-quincentennial. Unbelievable. 250 years of this once great nation. As it gasped for air, really. Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. Yeah, very much so. Now, let me invite you back to AmericaOutloud.news. That is where we are bringing the fight. And it is the rise of independent media. Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. So the idea here is to bring as many people around the round table, if you will, with various opinions, thoughts, ideas, and have a conversation. And I invite people to that table to have those conversations. It can get tough at times, but the diversity of thought, diversity of opinion is a beautiful American tradition that we need to fight for. We need to continue to fight for liberty and justice for all. And so help us share that out loud truth. So that the seed to shine and see is a statement we can proudly say again to our children, grandchildren, and our families as we fight to secure the next generation's friends.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. And we join you back here on The Voice of a Nation. It is Malcolm Out Loud here. Yours truly, always a privilege to be with you, my fellow Americans. Thank you for joining us here on this broadcast. I've never seen a State of the Union like that ever in my life, ever. I've seen some, you know, some interesting ones, but never anything like this. It was somebody screaming their bloody head off for over an hour and tormenting the other side of the political aisle who didn't have a microphone, clearly, at that point. You know, what was funny to me is Speaker Mike Johnson. I'll tell you, you gotta love the man, you know, really, really. Look at his body language. Go back and look at it if you missed it. I can't imagine you did. But his body language was just incredible. I mean, it really, I thought he did. I think he should win an Academy Award for that, frankly. He did marvelously well in trying to hold his composure, still be a gentleman. And while he was indeed going out of his mind, at one point, I thought he might pull a Pelosi and step up, grab the speech, rip it up, and then slap the guy in the head. I wasn't sure what was going to happen there, but he is too much a gentleman for that, clearly. But surely the left wasn't, back to Daniel's point earlier in the fact they get violent or rip up speeches on a regular basis, and that's okay. They just continue to move the ball forward. We desert countries and let people fall off airplanes and do all kinds, and that's okay. We just move the country forward. We just have no borders on our country. We let millions of people in. They go and murder people, and crime escalates throughout the country, not just blue cities and towns, but everywhere in America. And that's okay. We just continue to move the country forward. Or is it move the country backwards? Move the country backwards. Move the country backwards, right? Maybe that's what we find out ourselves right now. Join us on the roundtable here today. Booker Scott joins us, a host of Truth Be Told with Booker Scott, 6 p.m. Now, Booker is one of the hardest working guys in this thing. And I want you to get his program out there big time. He is killing it there at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And I suspect everybody needs to be listening to him. He's just a great voice of reason. And I'm thrilled to have him here. My brother, Booker Scott, here on the network. He's amazing here. Dr. Stephanie Coxon is here, and she hosts a show on the weekends, Two Women Inspiring Real Life with Kathy Anderson Martin. Fantastic. 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday, Sunday. She's an excellent writer. Oh, in fact, she's got a great piece up I want to share with you. She always makes me think. I love her pieces because she gets out of the box a bit. So, again, you just go to the menu, go to our anytime you want to get in, dive into somebody in particular, just go to authors and host, and you'll get a beautiful shot there of all these beautiful faces. Amazing. And you can go search and seek any particular author, writer, show host you're looking for. Go look at her items and you'll get a sense. But this last one she has up is entitled The Largest psychological warfare in history, and you are the experiment. It gets into some things you may not expect. Give it a read and share it twice over, please. Okay. Daniel Baranowski is here as well. Daniel has not only been a great voice over these last few years, got to know him so well, it's been amazing, but he's one of the few, how do I say to you, he's such an articulate writer that he, whatever he sets off to do, he writes, he sends it in, and it's like, it's almost like a piece of art. It's perfection where, you know, even the grammar and the grammatical corrections are so minimized, you have a hard time finding anything. I think that's a compliment, I believe. But he does incredible work here. And his voice, he gets right in there on the issues of the day, Daniel Baranowski. So wonderful group here to have here on the roundtable, friends. All right, this speech I want to talk about, this Senator Katie Britt. There's all kinds of things flowing on this thing here. Let's keep your responses on this point a little quicker and snappier so we don't spend a lot of it. I want to get on to some other points here. But Daniel, let me go to you first, please. Daniel Baranowski on this. She's an Alabama senator, new freshman, Katie Britt. What did you think of her response, please? Just what was the thing? Did it work? Did it not work? What's your analysis?
Well, she's truly an outstanding American. And I think the first woman senator from Alabama. But her approach to that speech last night is, in fact, the contrast we're talking about between these two groups. Can you imagine her sitting across from all the Democrats on the other side, trying to talk reason, trying to come to some compromise on something? You know, she was very articulate. She didn't get exercised about things. She didn't need spittle, didn't need to fly anywhere. And I overall was impressed with her. Let's just talk plain and simple about the things we all experience every day. I mean, it sort of reminds me of the joke that we've already had 10 million people come in here to supply all this labor and everything, but inflation still hasn't really gone down. What are all these people doing? But no, I thought that she addressed many of the issues.
It was very homespun, wasn't it?
It was very homespun, and you could get into it, especially in contrast to Joe Biden. And I just, Mark, something about Joe. You know, if you take a look at his last several speeches like this, I don't know what they've got him on, but the guy is so hyped up.
Well, that's a good question, actually. Let's come back to that point. Hold on. Put that on ice a sec. I want to come back to that. I want to talk about what they got him on, because they got to have him. In fact, just hold that thought. Let me get over. Stephanie, stay right there. Let me get over to Booker a moment, because I want to ask you two things on that later. Booker, what do you think about it? Did you like the speech from Senator Katie Britt? Was it effective, please? Yes or no?
No, I didn't. I didn't care for it. I didn't care for the delivery. Okay. I think it was a wasted opportunity to reach that part in the middle, the squishy middle that makes a difference in an election coming up in November. So I didn't care for it. You know, the content was okay. I didn't care much for the delivery. I would have liked to seen something different.
Okay. I'll hold that thought right there. Stephanie, speak to what Booker says there about that. Agree or disagree with that? How did you take it?
I actually completely agree with him. I thought the content was okay. The delivery, I just maybe more experience. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but kind of like when I listen to Trump, love Trump's policies, don't necessarily want to listen to what he's saying, I guess is the best way to put it.
Okay.
Hopefully she with a little bit more experience changes the delivery.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right, let me say to you this, folks here. I thought her speech and her delivery was as weird could be. It was the strangest speech. And this is probably a singular time I might even agreed with the Huff Post, which I never do. It's a rag. Their headline was Senator Katie Britt deeply weird. Biden response is freaking people out. Deeply weird. They mentioned and go on to say she was very theatrical. And that's the problem I had. It was too put on. There was no authenticity. I didn't get the sense of she was being real. It was too scripted. Because in one breath, and they even say it in here, and they're exactly right. I have to admit truth when I hear truth. And they said one short stretch, her tone shifted from happy to nearby laughing to nearly tearful and then angry. That really did happen. And then when that happened, I looked at my wife and I said, Dee, what do you make of that? I said, where is this lady coming from? I mean, what is she on? I mean, I don't really get it. What the hell, where'd they pull her out of? I mean, is this what we have to represent the GOP? It's just, I don't really understand it. Who vetted this? I mean, it was stranger than strange. I mean, why give the left any more than they already have, for God's sakes? Anyways, moving on. I had to get that in there, Stephanie, because it was just burning a hole through my brain here. Stephanie, I got to ask you something else here, because you may have the better answer than I don't really know what it is. But all right, listen. They got a Daniel, I think it was or somebody, there was Daniel Books just said what they had the president on, or somebody said that, whatever it is. Here's the thing. They got to have him on something. There is no way from the day to day. Everybody had the expectations at the bottom of the barrel because they expected he would fall, spit up on the mic, collapse, fall down, lose his train of thought, which he does every time he gets to the microphone. This one, he was like, he came in like a revved, eight-cylinder, revved up, massive engine of like extreme, this is like bing, every issue. It was, he was denunciating the words in such an aggressive, angry, you could feel the teeth clench. And he would, you know, really was pretty disgusting, the whole thing was. What do they have this man on, Steph? Do you have any idea? What are the meds? Can I assume there are meds that will do that? Because this guy is asleep at the freaking wheel.
Look, I don't know what they're giving that guy, but whatever it is, please give me some. I don't know what it is. I couldn't tell you. I mean, it was like a different person standing up there than what we typically see. Yeah. I mean, the guy was even able to hold his arms up for a while to point at people and to kind of shove his finger at you. I don't know, but it's a miracle drug. So let's get that out on the market. I know a lot of people could use that.
Somebody said Ritalin or something. What the hell does that do for you? Is that, I don't know. Is that going to do it? I'm not sure.
I mean, Ritalin can help someone become hyper-focused. Okay. I don't know to the extreme that he is up there. I would not say it's just Ritalin. I really don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, they had him jacked up. I mean, that was the word that was used. I mean, he was on steroids, man. He was like foaming at the mouth. That was not the same Joe Biden we've been seeing.
No, that is maybe they have a body double, but if the drug doesn't exist, I don't know. But whatever it is.
How do they pull this off? I mean, the left is so, they're so talented. And Stephanie, they're so talented and full of BS, like anybody's. How do they pull this stuff off in the light of day? I mean, why are they so ingenious and so volatile and so disgusting and so ridiculous and so brilliant and so winning? And so can you tell me how, please? Any of those
you
things?
Know,
to me.
I think about this all the time. And the only thing that ever comes to my head is like in Revelations where it talks about there's going to be a blindness put over people. Because all I can think of is everyone around me really this blind that they're not seeing this? I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just unfathomable what is happening and that people are going along with it and think this is okay, how they're pulling this off. That, you know, I will never forget in 2016, I was in England. I was watching the DNC and the place was empty. It was empty. Hillary was there. No one's there supporting her. I thought, oh, here we go. Trump's going to win. This is it. When I got back to the US, it looked like there was a full crowd there. And I just thought to myself, everything is theatrics. And you're right. The Democrats are just really, really good at it. I don't know if they go to acting school. They audition for their parts. I'm not sure. I do believe AOC auditioned for her role. Yeah. But, you know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, you get it. You still get it. And that story you just said, come back from the UK. I know that's true because you've used that analogy before, Ani, or I've heard you talk about it. And I've heard you talk about that. Come back saying, right?
I feel like I'm emotionally scarred from that event. That's when I was like, wait a second, this is not what happened.
That was smoke and mirrors, right? That was it.
Yes.
That defined the whole thing.
Oh, it was such an awakened moment for me to experience that, you know, the DNC 2.0. two different ways, two different perspectives. And yeah, it was
well,
yeah.
Well, it's to the point when we say we don't really understand, Stephanie. And, you know, I listen, for me, I mean, in full disclosure, and I think you probably know a lot about this, about me, about what I say here, but I love our nation. I bleed red, white, and blue, Stephanie. You have to know that. I mean, I am a Patriots patriot and will take one for the team for sure. I also am an optimist. I so believe in the shining city on a hill, but I'm not naive. I'm not naive. And I am willing to fight fire with fire if you haven't picked up on that yet, Stephanie. What do you say about all that?
Look, I'm with you. I don't know when the moment is for other people. For me, it was when I was, you know, they try to force me to put on a mask. You need to stand your ground. You've got to. We're losing it, right? And it gets harder and harder and harder. So if people do not step up, like, this is going to continue. It's not going to be good. You know, Ben Franklin, I think it was Ben Franklin, said, "We'll give you a republic if you can keep it." Yeah. We're not keeping it. We are losing it, and we're losing it through lives. People have got to go to original sources. They've got to wake up, and they've got to stop being afraid to have confrontation, because everyone's going to end up in the same place. We are all going to end up at a special little FEMA camp once you start to disagree with your government, and once you become disillusioned with your government, and it will happen. It's either you step up now or it's gone.
You're so spot on when you said, let's not forget what you just said. Let's remind, hold on. You said, don't stop being afraid of confrontation. That's hitting the nail on the head, Stephanie, right there. That's it right there.
Yeah.
Because I find the right is they're always afraid of this, a confrontation, or worried about whatever. Just like when it comes to the budgets and it comes to another CR, they run on the campaign. Well, we're not going to do any more CR, right, Fred? Yeah, Mary. Yeah, no more CRs for us. We're going to fight for the American people this time. Okay, Mary, we got it. Fred, thank you very much. Get to the microphone. What do they do when they're in power, Stephanie? Well, we're going to do another CR. This will be for 2 weeks. Next month, we're going to be for 2 months. We're going to do another CR for 3 months. I mean, they just lie. They lie. They succumb to the pressure. What is it, man?
And we're so bad with messaging on our side. I mean, come on. You know, when you take a look and, you know, I think Biden said that unemployment's at a 50-year low. Yeah, because we've had 3.5 million excess disabilities, right? We don't have people looking for jobs because they're either dead or they're on disability. We've got a serious problem. Let's call it out like it is and not pretend like there's actually good employment happening.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The messaging, you're so spot on with that. Daniel, let's get you in here. The messaging, she's exactly right with. Let's get to the point of the point. It's that in the fact that I think too many people, I mean, we're seeing our country go down. And if Booker is right, and it is about 33%, he's probably not far off. And if they keep doing what they're doing to the new generations, you know darn well that, you know, a few years down the road here, this country's not going to be here. It's not going to stand. It cannot withstand these kinds of pains and these sort of winds, Daniel. It's not going to be here. So when do we have that reckoning? When is that point where we say, you know what, we're not going to put up with it anymore?
Well, this election is that reckoning. And all we can do is to continue to do what you've done so brilliantly with America Out Loud. But to get back to something Stephanie said, there were 6 million people that left the workforce after COVID. They're no longer participating in the workforce for whatever reason. They may be, like you say, on disability or whatever. That's one of the major impacts. We'd be nearly at a 6.5 to 7% unemployment rate if those people were back in the workforce. The other thing I want to mention about Joe, and to think about it this way, I think he's on Adderall. I think he's on extended release Adderall.
Okay. But, does that do a job like that? Does that work that way?
Oh, yeah. Or, yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. It would work very well.
Maybe should I start selling that in AmericaOutloud.shop?
It's, by the way, I think, unfortunately, every teenager's on it.
But, oh, really?
They're getting fentanyl with it, too, unfortunately.
Oh, my God. Wow.
But think about this with Joe. He cleared his deck for 8 days to prepare for this, okay? The last 4 days, he had no interruptions whatsoever except one. They pumped him full of drugs, and they put him up here for an hour. Now, what happens on Friday morning if he gets alerted that Russia has just fired a nuclear missile in our direction? What, they're going to have to get Joe all prepared again? They're going to have to get him up, pump him full of stuff? That's the charade that it's so disgusting that this is like they're saying, Joe's back. We all know Joe had it, and it fits into this narrative that they've been pumping out for so long, that he's does twice the work of any human being, and he lifts, tall buildings. And
well, again, their words never meet the actions. No, it's not reality.
And he has no record to run on. That's why they have to lie all the time.
Right. So on that basis now, Daniel, on that basis, let's go right around the whole room. Let me just, so we talk about a reckoning, this next election and all. All right, so how confident are you? Give me a summary answer now to this. How confident are you that Joe Biden is not the next president versus Donald Trump? Or I guess the third option would be a player to be named later.
I'm not confident at all that right. They won't cheat their way into this. They are so good at this. Yeah. And they have got so much resources that we don't have pumped into this. And that's why I think they would go absolutely bonkers if Trump actually won. And it's going to take a Herculean effort on our part. And not only there,
if they start burning cities down and everything, as you, I think you suggested earlier,
I think,
you know what, go ahead and do it. And now let's give them the same treatment that they gave to the J6. Let's give these SOBs the same treatment. How's that go?
Yep. Well, it's going to come down to that. There are enough people that are willing to get tough to fight fire with fire on our side of the
things. We've just kept
our powder dry. Like, by the way, Mike Johnson did with the Republicans yesterday. There were plenty of people ready to go up there and pop Joe in the mouth. but you know, decorum. And he had them there, and he signaled to them his disgust. But they all kept in line, and they did a remarkably reserved, a job just to stay in their seats, because some of that stuff you just want to throw programs around.
That's right. All right. Let me get over to Booker Scott now. And we see where this all is when we talk about this next election and the reckoning. You know, it's funny, Booker, I think back to all these previous elections, and I get so tired of hearing this over the years and the millennia, as you probably did as well, when people say, and I don't even like to utter these words because they're kind of lame, when people say, well, this is the most election of our lifetime. This is the most important election of our, I heard that every, growing up through my life, every 2 to 4 years, that was the message you heard. And it got to be a very vanilla statement that didn't mean anything. But you know what, Booker? I think at this point, based on where we are, if we do some basic math, the word we probably want to use here for 2024 is reckoning. We're at a point of reckoning in our nation just before the semi-quincentennial. How does that look to you?
I agree. It's a drop-dead election. And I think that it is overused. And we don't pay attention to it because it's said so much. But I believe that's where we are. And I think that we probably all agree with that. And I want to go back just a little bit about the expectations of Joe Biden going into the State of the Union, because as I see it, the only thing that he had to do was show that he could last an hour. Yep. And the left has even been turning on him. You see that in the media.
Yep.
So he had to get up there with all this energy to show that he's not 81 years old. That's another lie that they continue to try to tell us. And other than that, the right was disappointed in that he wasn't bumbling all over the place, although it was messy and ugly. And I think that had a lot to do with the people clapping and cheering. They were just thankful he got through it and was able to have a little bit of energy, which looked crazy. But again, we are uber political. We watch this stuff all the time. We watch it every day. And a lot of the people that pay attention to the State of the Union address, they don't watch any of it all year. And so they saw him, crazy with energy. In the end, after 2 or 3 days of the State of the Union, nobody's going to remember any of it anyway.
Yeah, well, because why, to your point, Booker, is Americans have very short memories. I mean, they really do. I mean, all these debacles that have happened so far in this administration. I mean, the question we have to ask, Booker, is will people forget these when they go in to vote in November? Could people actually forget all of that? Even people, moderates, independents, just left of center. I mean, good people who just, you know, have different ideas and thoughts. And that's all good. That's an American thing. They're not extremists. Will they forget those things, you think?
Yeah, they will. It's going to come down to things that it always comes down to.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to the economy, the inflation. It's going to come down to safety and security for your family, your children, yeah. your hope for the future, and who makes you feel better about that.
And
that's what it's going to come down to.
And right now they're trying to pull all the stops out to put as many Band-Aids on things as they can. They're strong-arming the Federal Reserve. They've got everything sort of very lightly, tightly wound, actually, is what I'm guessing. Stephanie, let's get over to you a moment here. Get your last word here, just a couple of moments left here, but tell us what you're seeing in November with this.
Well, if you know, I'm not sure. I believe that the current presidency is not fraudulent, so I don't have much hope for November unless people really show up, watch what's going on, and call out the inconsistencies that have been demonstrated across the country. We've got to confront, we've got to watch, and we've just got to be a part of the whole process.
And if like not, Booker could said, that, could a spark create that reckoning?
Look, at the rate that people are getting cancer and they have nothing left to, no reason to continue on, maybe, I don't know. I mean, people, we're in very interesting times.
We're very interesting times. Yeah, it's a good point to end on right there. Very interesting times, my fellow Americans. It is the tale, I think, of, I look at it as this, I see it as a tale of two nations. And I have felt this for some time, these two ideologies we're speaking about now. It is really the tale of two different processes of thinking entirely. And I do ask myself quite a fair amount. I love the diversity of people, the diversity of thought. The problem is that one third of the people get all the attention and they're communists, they're Marxists. And they have bad intentions and they're evil. And just look at all the escalating problems of policies that they're trying to put out as normal. And many people are buying this up and this is their new normal. Remember they talked about that new normal coming through COVID? Well, now you're existing and living in the new norm. How does it feel, my fellow Americans, to live in the new norm, right? Really? That's what we're living in. This is what they were referencing all along. And maybe that's why Joe Biden was pushed in the end, referenced as to be controlled by the puppet, if you will. There's an interesting piece, by the way, Dr. Stephen Latula wrote. I've got to point it out to you on AmericaOutloud.news. It's on the front page here, but if not, just go to his feed. The State of the Union is Obama's teleprompter message to America. And we actually got a picture of Joe Biden put on top of Obama's teleprompter. Brilliant, I might say, analysis and a brilliant graphic on that that he did. He always does a great job with that. I pray to God, my fellow Americans, that we can all raise a glass of champagne in the year 2026 and celebrate this great land, our 250-year mark. I pray to God Almighty that we have a great president in the White House who believes in the Constitution, who believes in the shining city on a hill, and has secure borders once again for our great nation. I pray to God, my fellow Americans, that legal immigration becomes the talking points of America again, and that our economy is bustling, and that the world has settled down just a bit here. I pray to God, my fellow Americans, that 250 years is a whole new look for the United States of America. Thank you for joining me on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud, America.